When it comes to orthopedic care, experience matters. At Sheridan Orthopedic Associates, our team of board-certified specialists brings decades of trusted expertise to every diagnosis, treatment, surgery, and recovery plan. From sports injuries to joint replacements, Sheridan Orthopedics offers both surgical and non-surgical care tailored to your needs right here in your community. Choose the team that physicians and families have trusted for generations. Learn more about our team of experts at SheridanOrtho.com. Sheridan Orthopedics, expertise you can count on.
Prepare for a musical fusion like no other. The Dallas String Quartet brings their signature Bach meets Bon Jovi sound to the YO Theater Thursday, September 25th at 7 p.m. Blending classical techniques with modern hits, Dallas String Quartet uses both electric and traditional string instruments to create an unforgettable, high-energy, genre-defying experience. Tickets for the Dallas String Quartet are available now at the YO Theater box office or online at yotheater.com.
Rapp Plumbing and Heating can handle any job you have, big or small. From new construction to a pesky leaking toilet, the professionals at Rapp Plumbing and Heating are here to assist you. Drippy faucet? Sure. New shower hardware? No problem. Plumbing an entire new house? For sure. Clogs that need snaked? Oh yeah. Rapp Plumbing and Heating has not met a job they can't handle. Too big a crap? Call Dan Rapp at 429-1196.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Tuesday, September 16th. From Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting. And this is Public Pulse. The 8th Annual YO Film Festival in Sheridan is set for October 2nd through the 5th and known for welcoming first-time filmmakers alongside industry professionals. The festival has offered audiences the chance to see everything from high-budget productions that are backed by major studios to independent projects made with little more than determination, talent, and some compelling storytelling. This year, the festival will be offering even more than in previous years. And this morning, I am joined by YO Film Festival Creative Director, Breton Shepherd, and Sheridan Media Digital Director, Julie Chadwick. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
How are you, Breton? Are you out there?
Hey, I'm out here.
You're
thanks
out
so
there.
Much for having me.
Thank you for coming on the show. Now, this is the 8th Annual YO Film Festival. Breton, can you give us an overview of how the festival has grown since it first began?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks again for having me on this morning. We're about 2 weeks out from Fest weekend, and a lot of excitement going around, a lot of kind of final plans being made. So, thanks again. Happy to be here. Wow, the Fest has certainly grown a lot since the first one, way back 8 years ago. Probably the biggest way, there's something about having kind of 8 years under your belt and a little bit of, call it street cred that goes with, doing an event for 8 years that, we feel like, the submission, the quality of films that we're receiving from around the country is substantially improved. We're getting films that are regionally relevant and interesting to the community there. There's a lot of different ways the Fest has grown over the years, and certainly the community support has been a big part of that, and no doubt Sheridan Media's support and the support of our sponsors as well has kind of helped kick things up a notch and take us to new levels. So, yeah.
Breton, before everything kicks off, do you guys have like a brainstorming session? Do y'all sit around a table go around and listen to some new ideas to possibly expand the film festival here?
Yeah, that's a great question. We, you know, have all sorts of ideas in our back pocket, things that we want to do, and certainly, again, with the support of the community and our sponsors, with their monetary support, allows us to do, you know, some new things each year. One of those being, I'm actually excited this morning to be able to announce that we're going to offer a new Audience Choice Awards for this year. So, you know, we're really going to get the our audiences kind of directly involved and give them the opportunity to cast their votes after each film for their favorites and kind of get them directly involved in shaping the outcome of this event. So two awards for Audience Choice Short Film and Audience Choice Feature Film. Those will come with cash prizes for the filmmakers who win those awards. So, you know, that's just a quick example of, like, ideas that we have each year that we want to achieve, and with the community support and sponsorship support, things that we're able to keep doing. So we have lots of ideas in the back pocket. We definitely throw ideas around and see what we can do as kind of the lineup and things shape up each year. So, yeah, lots of excitement going on.
Now, I would think that, like, a monetary award from the audience would be a big draw. You guys don't have any problems whatsoever drawing in filmmakers. You guys have got to sit down and watch hundreds of films every year. What's really the purpose behind that monetary award? Is that just kind of a way to thank individuals for making a fantastic film for the audiences? What's the idea behind that?
Yeah, that's a big part of it. You know, we do this festival, a big part is to connect audiences with filmmakers around the country and the stories that they have and that they want to share. And so, you know, we look at it as kind of an opportunity to give back to the filmmakers and kind of support their passion, their creativity and their work. You know, you mentioned at the beginning of the show that we have films that come in that have big budgets behind them, are supported by not necessarily major studios, but, you know, people that have raised money on their own and maybe have larger budgets or corporate kind of sponsorships. To films that are just passion projects for people and are made, you know, with no more than $1,000. And so we kind of have everything that spans the gamut there. And this is just one way that we can kind of help support that. You know, this year we're starting off with, you know, kind of modest cash prizes. We hope to expand that in years to come as, you know, if anybody's out there listening and wants to sponsor that, we'd be welcome to have you, and we can contribute and offer more to our filmmakers over the years. But, you know, another piece of that is that each film that gets submitted to the festival, it comes through on a platform that we use called Film Freeway. And those filmmakers pay a submission fee to submit the film. And so that is one of the ways that we generate revenue for the festival. And so, you know, it is an opportunity for us to continue to build on that and, again, give back to the filmmakers in, you know, a little bit of a meaningful way and recognize them for the hard work and everything that they put into the festival. And then certainly on top of that, just the opportunity to kind of even deepen the connection between the audience that we have and the filmmakers who, again, are sharing their work and, you know, generate meaningful conversations and community connections over the weekend.
Now, speaking of meaningful conversations, this festival's theme is stories that move mountains. What does that phrase mean to you, and how does it come through on the big lineup?
Yeah, great question. You know, we sit back and kind of at the very beginning of all this and think about, you know, what do we want to kind of do this year and try and put together a theme that we can build everything around. And again, this year's Stories That Move Mountains came to play. If you have had the opportunity to see our poster artwork and kind of the branding that is going around with this year's theme in the festival, you'll see Devil's Tower and kind of the Native American story that goes with the Devil's Tower. And so we've kind of put all that imagery together to something that, again, I think maybe resonates with the region and And so, yeah, your question, how does that get play into this year's selection of films? We have something, I think, for everybody. We always try and program a selection of films that has kind of a diverse will be of interest to a diverse audience. So again, I think we have something for everybody from, you know, feature documentaries to narrative short films. We have animated short films. We have some thriller, suspense, kind of horror, late night films. And so again, try and meet everybody where they're at and kind of interest level and have something for everybody. So I think that's a little bit of how that plays into there. And certainly the festival was founded on the idea that, you know, stories are really kind of one of the most, you know, primal forms of entertainment, right? Think about everybody sitting around a campfire and telling stories back in the day, and that certainly kind of rings true to today. And the power of story is really what we're all about, and that's kind of where that theme comes into play.
Well, I can tell you, Julie's excited about the horror part. She lit up when you said
that. Carriage House Theater at 10 o'clock.
front row.
Now, you have announced the 2025 slate. What types of films can audiences expect this year? And I would say maybe outside the big horror event that Julie's looking forward to, is there anything that really stands out for you, Brent?
Oh, yeah. Man, I'm really excited. There's a lot I'm excited about. Julie and I actually were talking about this the other day, and there's just a lot of stories I think that will resonate with the community there. You know, one of our big kind of pillars is sharing diverse voices, again, kind of across the spectrum, things that people may not necessarily be able to see and hear all the time. And so, you know, one of those is Native American voices. And so we have a couple of films that touch on that and are some really interesting documentary stories that I think people should come check out. We have a feature film about Jan and Herb Kahn, the rock climbing pioneers. Kind of discovered the Needles area and have some history climbing Devil's Tower and things like that. So that'll be kind of cool for the outdoor crowd. That certainly has, again, some
Catching
regional
Pine
relevance.
Cones, is that the name of it?
Catching Pine Cones, that's right.
Watch the trailer, it'll hook you.
Yeah. I'm also really excited this year. We're going to introduce an animated short film block. This is a family-friendly short film block. So, you know, bring the kiddos out. This is Saturday morning, 9 a.m. It's a really cool, kind of colorful mix of animated styles. We're going to have a cereal bar, maybe breakfast treats. There'll be coffee. We're going to encourage pajamas. Just
this
roll out of bed,
fun.
come hang out and have a good time.
That really does sound like a fantastic family activity. Everyone, at least in this little group here that we've got gathered this morning, can probably remember getting up early on Saturday mornings, getting that bowl of cereal and heading downstairs or over to the TV and watching the big three channels that we all had. Now, the opening night documentary, Remaining Native, why was this film chosen to launch this festival? And what can audiences really look forward to? Now, I know you just touched on that idea of many voices from many diverse backgrounds. Is that kind of the reasoning behind this?
Yeah, that certainly plays into it. You know, as we put the program together each year, it's like a big puzzle, and we're trying to fit things into different blocks that we think make sense. You know, certainly when we a big part of the festival is having the filmmakers in attendance, and I'm not sure that we're going to get to have anybody from Remaining Native there this year. We're working on it, but we have our biggest contingent of traveling filmmakers from around the country, including Canada, that are going to be in attendance, about 20 or so this year. And so that's a huge part of this. And, you know, we look at kind of the different blocks and figure out, you know, is somebody, or do we have representation from that film that's going to be there? And, you know, would it make sense to plug this film into this slot that time? And we work with the Weill Theater, who's fantastic, to help kind of with their staff, put this whole thing together. So, it's a puzzle, a fun puzzle, though.
All right, on that, I do have to take a quick commercial break. We're going to have more with our Wyo Film Festival right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Child Development Center.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
Jewelry has a way of carrying stories through the generations waiting for the next chapter. September 18th through 20th, discover those stories at Legacy Diamond and Gems Vintage and Estate Jewelry Show. From delicate Victorian heirlooms to striking Art Deco and modern designs, each piece is as unique as the person who discovers it. For a personalized showing, RSVP by calling 672-9490 or visit Legacy Diamond and Gems at 11 North Main. Legacy Diamond and Gems, where every piece tells a story.
Believe it or not, it's not too early to begin thinking about the upcoming holiday season, and Moss Holders can help you get your home ready for guests. Right now, all dining room and all bedroom furniture at Moss Holders is on sale. Whether you'd like to add seating to your kitchen or dining room, or update a spare bedroom, now's the ideal time, as nearly every single special order will arrive in time for the holidays. Moss Holders has access to hundreds of dining and bedroom sets, so you can find the one that fits your style best. That's Moss Holders Bedroom and Dining Sale, going on now. Moss Holders. Furniture is our passion.
Leaves crunching, kettles whistling, football helmets colliding, families chattering, the sounds of fall. Hearing loss can be a subtle thief, taking away these precious sounds and others that make our lives so rich. If you think you or a loved one may be struggling, please call our office to schedule your free hearing test and consultation. There is nothing to lose and everything to gain. Let the changing seasons encourage you to make a positive change for better hearing. Call 674-8920, on the web at ebahearing.com, or visit on Coffeen Avenue, right next to Sherwin-Williams.
Did you know that Midas can perform your manufacturer's scheduled maintenance? For most, that means every 30,000 miles you need to check or service critical fluids in the transmission, transfer case, differentials, engine coolant, and brakes. Midas goes a step further with a visual inspection before recommending service. If it can wait, Midas will advise as such. If it needs serviced, Midas will explain why and provide a no-obligation quote. Midas, helping maintain your car, advising what needs fixing, and what can wait. Call or stop by today.
ERA Carroll Realty, Wyoming Corporate Office, and First Federal Bank and Trust ask you to help them fill the bus with food for the food group and the 700 school children assisted with weekend meals. It's easy as shopping at Albertsons while the food group bus is there Saturday, September 27th, and Ridley's on October 4th. Then donating a food item from the food list found at SheridanMedia.com. Cash donations are also welcome. Come on, Sheridan, help fill the bus for the food group, making a difference one kid at a time.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. This morning we're speaking with Wyo Film Festival Creative Director, Breton Shepherd, Sheridan Media Digital Director, Julie Chadwick. We're talking about the 8th annual Wyo Film Festival right here in Sheridan, set to kick off October 2nd. It's going to go till the 5th. Now, Julie, Sheridan Media has supported the Wyo Film Festival since its
inception.
Since the very beginning.
Yeah.
Do you remember what those early conversations looked like and why you felt it was so important that Sheridan Media really got involved with this?
Well, so Justin Stroop was the original creator, I think, and it was his vision, and he's carried it through, and then, you know, Breton has carried it on farther as Justin's had to step back. But there's for me, and looking at it as our company, there's two reasons. And one is, I think it's always a good idea to bring interesting and diverse topics out to people in a public area where they can come and see it. And then you can actually hear from the directors of mm-hmm. what they did, which is so powerful, because many of these stories leave you with questions. So when you can just raise your hand and go, hey, what about this? It just it's so impactful as a human being when you get to tell, when it enriches the whole story so much more. So if you see some of these that have the directors here, you know, plan on going, because every time they've been and I've sat in and listened, it's just been like, wow. One of those in particular was Sam Now, and I took my son Will, and he was going to journalism school at the time, and he was home for the summer, and that just was amazing to him, and it just stuck with him, and he's a film festival fan, and that was, what, 2023, I think, so it resonated with him.
The idea that these movies, mm-hmm. you know, you said you walk away with questions. Sometimes when the director's there, you can really get those answered. But at the same time, I think it's great that you walk away with questions. You're asking questions.
Yeah.
You know, these films, in many cases, I'm not going to say all, but in many cases, start conversations.
They do. Another one that was so impactful to me was Owned, A Tale of Two Americas. And it's it's the housing. And that was 2019, and it was the housing and how the idea of home ownership is the great American dream. And it really started on some good, solid principles. You know, it came into era, I think, strongly with Nixon. But what happened was it came during the time of racial tensions, and so actually it predated Nixon. So it told the story of how these ideologies about home ownership in a time when that really wasn't available to everybody, and how it clashed in the end result. It, fascinating. And you can still see the trailer on wildfilmfest.org.
Yeah.
It's worth seeing. They have the whole library of, and you can find the movie. So there's these educational pieces to this. Last year, Why Dinosaurs?
Yeah.
And those guys went to the schools. It sold out. It created a whole love for a whole new generation, which will probably now go to the Saturday. One other story about this, and this is the piece that's more of another reason why we do this, is for us, this looks like a shoulder season of tourism, okay? October, things are dying down here. It's a way to get people here that might not come ordinarily. So as a media company, we tell these stories digitally, social media. We market it on radio and live stream audio, and we use the trailers to tell the story. We don't, you know, and then we'll just say when, but we let the trailers of the movies tell the story. And in 2019, I think, Justin told me this, there was a gentleman here from Boston, and we were running the ads early September, you know, and it's in October. He was here from Boston traveling through. He heard the radio trailer ad for, I think the movie name was Cowboy. He flew home, brought his family back, for the film festival.
Wow.
Yeah. And so we market in a regional area to hopefully get additional people to come stay here for the festival. And then also, but primarily it's to get people out, you know, get them out, get them to see these things. And I just think it's such a fascinating and wonderful thing. I'm immensely proud of the Wyoming Film Festival.
Absolutely. And Breton, forgive my ignorance, but is there other film festivals in the state of Wyoming, or are we kind of the only show in town?
Jackson
has one. Okay.
Yeah, there are a couple other ones around the state. I think I'm really proud. Thank you, Julie, of the work that we've done here, certainly with your guys' help. So yeah, there's a few others, but I think we put on a great experience for the film makers that come into town and our audiences that come to enjoy those stories.
Now, from your perspective, what does having the kind of long-term local media partnership mean for the festival and you and the rest on the board?
Yeah, thanks. I mean, we're incredibly grateful for this partnership and to have, you know, Sheridan Media, Julie Floyd involved from the very beginning, and to really help kind of see this through and help take us into the future, for sure. I mean, it's a I can't thank you guys enough to help get the word out and tell these stories. I mean, we're a festival that talks about the medium of film and to use that in other mediums to get the word out is a really cool thing. And to help spread the word. Another quick little anecdote about last year, we had a woman from Canada that came who had traveled through Sheridan, you know, in her younger years, and had worked in the film industry, saw that there was a film festival in Wyoming and in Sheridan, and said, "Oh, I want to come back to that," and booked a ticket and came out to the festival.
Awesome.
So, you know, these things happen every year, and people come from all corners of the country to Sheridan to experience this festival. So the partnerships with Sheridan Media and our sponsors are, you know, incredibly invaluable, and we're grateful for the support that everybody's given to us over the years.
You know, looking ahead, Julie, how do you see Sheridan Media's role evolving in the festival as it continues to expand and draw more audiences? This year, you know, they're even, like Brenton was saying, borderless.
Yeah.
We're going international.
Well, so I can see even starting earlier in a more regional area with our marketing and getting it in front of people, you know, that are close enough to drive for the weekend. And putting even more focus on that portion of the marketing earlier on, mm-hmm. as soon as tickets go on sale, or maybe earlier, because people, and this is not a sprint, you know, there have been film festivals around in the other cities, states, actually, not cities, that are no longer because yeah. you have to be able to tell the story. And you have to have an organized approach to how you're going to get people intrigued and wanting to click through. And they might click through one year and make those plans, and then maybe there's a storm, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe something else came up in their life. But as long as you keep presenting it, it becomes something they're like, oh, yeah, you know, that we're inundated every day. So it's just that systematic approach where you're continually reaching people over the long haul. And I've seen this grow, having gone, I only didn't go 1 year, and that's because I had COVID. So you guys thank me for that.
That was a big stopper for a lot of folks. You know, I think film as a medium, not only has it advanced technologically, various industry leaders have really led the way on a lot of different technologies that have really changed the way that we watch film, even experience it. But there is one thing that every film needs to be good, and that is story.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a story. You've got to pluck a string in my
yeah.
heart. You've got to motivate me to movement or action or make me feel something.
Yeah.
You know, and like art, like other arts, sometimes movies aren't there to make you happy.
Right. Or there's, and Brenton, you can obviously speak to this as well, but even some of these shorts, you know, like there was one in 2024 called Bounce House, 15 minutes. And it, you know, it was just so well organized. So many of these are passion projects.
Yeah.
So they come through. That comes through in the making of it.
And some of the best films that I've ever seen
mm-hmm.
have been shorts.
Yeah.
I'll say some of the best animation that I've ever seen
mm-hmm.
has been short college projects mm-hmm. that the students have thrown together as like a final or something. And then once they turn it in, they're allowed to upload it. You can sit down and watch hours of this stuff, but you'll walk away having felt something. And so short films are not something to be, you know, like what you're
yeah.
saying. It's not something to be ignored. Oh, well, it's just a bunch of shorts.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes those ones can
yeah.
do so much with so little time.
Yeah.
I mean,
and
they
Brenton,
can really
the Saturday
you.
Morning cartoons are going to be a lot of animation, aren't they?
Yeah, I think 6-7-ish animated shorts. Yeah, and they're all, like I said, family friendly. They're the block itself is less than 45 minutes or around 45 minutes. So again, very friendly for our the young kiddos
and that
may be squirming in the seats. So it'll be fun for everybody.
I'll tell you what. You know what? I hope this goes off so well because I would love to see that become a staple at the Wild Film Festival.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the horror section.
Yeah, at the Carriage House.
Oh,
can it
absolutely.
Be any better?
Absolutely. Really got
yeah.
a fantastic setting there. One more time for us, Brenton. How do I get tickets and learn a little bit more?
Yep, come to our website, wildfilmfest.org. We have the full list of films. You can read all about them there. You can see the full lineup of events over the weekend, not just the films, but the social events and everything surrounding the festival as well, wildfilmfest.org.
Julie, I want to thank you for coming down. I know you're really busy.
Thank
you for taking the time with us today. I know you guys are trying to wrap some things up before everything kicks off, so I appreciate the time that you gave us, my friend.
Yeah, thank you both. Really grateful for the partnership and opportunity to chat with you today.
All right. When we return, we're going to speak with Sheridan College Assistant Professor Brittany Denham. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Child Development Center.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
Rapp Plumbing and Heating has been serving Sheridan since 2010. With all these years of experience, you can rely on them to handle all of your plumbing and heating needs. From new construction to remodels, repairs of existing systems to retrofitting, Rapp Plumbing and Heating can do it all. They are professional, clean, and courteous. Call 429-1196 for all your plumbing or heating needs. As we like to say, if you find a leak, let Dan take a peek.
Pit Crew to You is changing the way people buy tires forever. No more sitting endlessly in a tire shop.
That rubber smell.
Working your schedule around their availability, hoping you can find affordable prices. They bring the tire shop and the deals to you. Pit Crew to You carries the major brand tires at discount prices that won't break the bank. It's easy to shop, schedule, and save. For fast, professional, and affordable service, just visit pitcrew2u.com today. Pit Crew to You. They change your tires, not your schedule.
Heads up, whether it's at work, at home, or play, take a few seconds to look up and locate any overhead power lines. When working outside, be sure to keep yourself and any tools or equipment you're using at least 10 feet away. Teach your children to fly kites or toys in areas away from overhead power lines, and do not attempt to remove anything that has become tangled with a line. Always assume an overhead power line is energized and dangerous. A safety message brought to you by Montana Dakota Utilities, in the community to serve.
This is the Captain at Captain Clean. Did you know your carpet acts like a giant air filter, collecting allergens, bacteria, and all sorts of other treasures? Let our experts at Captain Clean prolong the life of your carpet, protect your indoor air quality, and make your carpet proud to call itself carpet again. Call Captain Clean today, 672-0726, and schedule your next carpet cleaning. Captain Clean, affordable choices for healthy living.
We clean more for you. We're Captain.
Hi, I'm Lisa Hansen with MC2 Realty, inviting you to take a look at this beautifully maintained 4-bedroom, 2-bath home featuring AC, a newer roof, and hot water heater. The inviting kitchen offers an island abundant storage and a walk-in pantry. A convenient main-level laundry allows for easy single-level living. Ideally situated at 1430 Omar near Mavrakis Pond and the walking path. List price is just $385. To take a look at this property, contact me, Lisa Hansen, at 307-763-3964.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. Proudly brought to you thanks to First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. For our second part this morning, I am joined by Sheridan College Assistant Professor of Photography and Printmaking, and Gallery Director of Edward Whitney Gallery, Brittany Denham. Good morning. Welcome back.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Been too long since I've gotten you in here. What have you been up to? You got any projects in the works? Or are you just busy doing the assistant professor thing?
Well, I'm now the chair of the Visual and Performing
Arts. Oh, fantastic.
I know. It's so exciting. We've just gotten so many things off of the ground at the beginning of the semester. We're welcoming students and and our college is bustling and we have just so many new faces. And so we're really just getting into the groove of having students back on campus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're still teaching.
I am.
Okay. That's fantastic to hear.
Yeah. You couldn't pull me away from that classroom.
Good. Yeah. Because, you know, for me, that's where the big differences are made, you know?
Absolutely.
And what an exciting time of year having this brand new cohort of students come in. You see all this fantastic promise and potential. I'll bet that's an exciting time.
It is. And it right now we have 30 visual art majors. And so I think Sheridan College has done such a phenomenal job building an infrastructure that just is able to house so many students. And it's almost like a, if you build it, they will come type of, mm-hmm. you know, idea. And so we've built it and now they are coming and it is just so fun to watch. It is fun. And they're just coming from everywhere. They're coming from Montana, South Dakota. We have our homegrown kiddos. I mean, it is just students. They're not kids.
Yeah.
They're students.
Students.
So
yes.
It is just so fun to get to be with them and to collaborate and mostly to bring and build seasons in the music and the visual arts and in dance and theater to be able to build seasons to help facilitate the best education for our students, which is at the top of what we're thinking of and of our minds of why we build the seasons the way that we do.
Mm-hmm.
We're always thinking about students and how to help their education when they graduate from our programs.
And, you know, one thing that always got me about colleges, institutions of higher learning is perspectives. Really opening a lot of doors, you know, seeing the world for what it is outside of, you know, local cities and people really expanding ideas, you know,
absolutely.
And that's really the place to really foster it. And then suddenly you realize by the time you're done, you've learned how to present the idea.
Absolutely. I mean, art is a window and a mirror. So mm-hmm. either you can see yourself within the work, be it a piece of music, a piece of art, a visual art, a piece of dance. You can either see yourself within the work or it's a window and you're able to be curious and look into someone else's life or beliefs or why they're making what they're making. And so, yeah, I think there's always a kernel that you can find. And we champion that at the college.
Every gallery opening I've ever attended, there's been at least one. I'm not going to say only one, but there's been at least one piece of art or presentation that I find myself standing, staring, and I can't move myself away. And I don't always know why, you know, but it's something about this piece intrigues me and really holds me. And so to sit there and stare at it, it's like a self journey. Why is it creating this emotion? You know, maybe I'm angry. Okay, well, let's explore that. Why does this anger me? Or maybe all of a sudden I'm in love, you know? Okay, well, let's explore that. Why does it create this? And you learn so much about yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely, because really at the end of it, when an artist is making something, a piece of choreography, a piece of music they've written, or a painting that they've made, it's a human to human experience. Mm-hmm. They are making that place from themselves and they're giving it to other people. And so really it's about that connection of humans. And so it's so beautiful, right? That someone can make something that makes someone else feel connected or seen or angry, right? That's also excited or in pain or, I mean, it's human, and it's human to feel all of those, that spectrum of feeling. And so I think it's wonderful that there's work out there that gives us that ability to explore those things.
And I think you're so lucky, you know, because you work in a place where you get to see the work of tomorrow as well. And you get to see how these students are coming forward with these new ideas, taking maybe old traditions, flipping them on their heads. And saying, you know what, I can do this. I can scoff at tradition and throw that forward and create something new.
Absolutely. The students, I love working with the newest generation, or even we have a lot of veterans come in. We have a lot of non-traditional students. We have students that, I have a student who is coming from an oil field. Mm-hmm. They're going to teach us. It is a collaborative process. And so they're going to bring in their lived experiences to share with and collaborate with their community. But I think one thing that makes our institution so extremely special is that we have a student gallery that is upstairs of the Whitney Center for the Arts. And that is just for our students to work out their ideas. Maybe they're trying to figure out a new way to install something or to engineer something, to hang it from a ceiling or to make it more communal. And so we have a student gallery that is just for them, which is an anomaly. That doesn't happen at other institutions where you have a big space. And this is called the Nelgi Gallery. It's our student gallery. And then we have the professional gallery, which is downstairs. And our students are actively, right now as we speak, they're working with a professional artist who came to our institution to install a piece of or an exhibition. And they get to do that with that artist.
That's so fantastic.
They get to watch him, help him facilitate, get on the ground experience on how you're going to ship something. You know, these come in giant crates. They're big sculptures. They're being zip tied to foam and then housed in these big crates. So they're having to watch, unpack, repack, install, paint, light. They're doing all of it. And they're only in their first semester of college.
That's great.
Right?
Yeah, it is. I mean, because that is the hands-on work of the art, right? Like you've made this impressive, beautiful creation. Okay, well now we got to show it to the world. But how do we do that?
How do we do it? And all of our areas do it. So like our theater professor or our theater students who are in the WIO, they are actively working in a black box and starting to, you know, learn about how their bodies are moving on stage and what their voice sounds like. They're also figuring out lighting. They're mm-hmm. figuring out the backdrops. They're figuring out sound. They're doing all of that work so that when they get on the big stage, which is a professional theater at the YO, they are able to thrive because they've had all of this professional experience and build up to get them to a place where they can be mm-hmm. artists.
Knocks the nerves down because I've already been there and done that.
Right.
So now I can focus on what I need to.
Right. And every piece, every part of our college does that, right? So like our music does it. You know, you could be performing with one-on-one with a faculty member in a performance room, like a practice room. And then you get to go perform on this beautiful state-of-the-art stage at the college in Kinnison Hall.
Oh, it's beautiful too.
With the most gorgeous sound. Mm-hmm. I mean, that a student isn't just in a basement playing this thing or in their, you know, mom's garage. They get this venue where they get to use the technology and the light and the sound. All of our areas do that so well. Heck, even the ag area. Yeah. I mean, even them, they are planting. They're seeing everything through the cycle. They have land that they are doing that work. They just had a hops harvest. I mean, I'm here to talk about art, but our whole college, it's such a physical practice of learning. And mm-hmm. You're right. I am lucky. And I know it every single day. I feel so excited to go to work.
Oh, absolutely. How could you not? You know, just seeing not just the learning, but the discovery.
Yes.
You know, and I often talk about like the children's discovery of things and the light that you know, just shines out of their eyes the minute they figure something out and you're like, oh, they got it. But that happens even if I'm 50, if I'm 60, you can still see that light. It's still in there. Something new has happened.
Right. We have so many students that they finish out their careers. They go into retirement. Some of our best students are returning students who have worked many, many years in their field. They retire and then they say, oh, I want to go back.
There's something out there.
I'm still curious. I'm still hungry and I want to learn something new. And so some of my favorite students are returning students mm-hmm. who they have stuff to teach my, you know, 19-year-old student. And so it's just such a wonderful community of continued education. I just I love it.
Now, coming up, you were talking about someone's down there opening up a lot of art, getting it out. Is this David Morrison?
David Morrison.
All right. Tell me about Remnants of Future Landscapes.
I hope everybody comes to see this exhibition. It is an amalgamation of wood. So he's building his own tables. He's making his own glazes. He's creating these pieces that are using found objects, clay, ceramics. He's building tiles that are going into these tables. It's about color. But the most mind-boggling thing, which we haven't seen at the college, and that I'm so excited for my students to see, is neon.
Wow.
So neon is kind of a dying art practice. It's hard. It's fragile.
Yeah.
And what he's doing, I hope people come to his artist talk as well, because he's really going to talk about the process of creating these big ceramic sculptures with glaze and found object. And then he's building the neon. And while the neon is hot, he's forming the neon to go and connect to his sculptures. And then they become a piece of light.
Wow.
And some of them are on the walls, some are on tables. And it's just the most, it's extremely thoughtful. I mean, that you think about the structure and then you have to think about the mathematics mm-hmm. of forming this neon that is then going to go onto a sculpture. And so when he's shipping these works for our students to be able to see, okay, you have to protect the neon, you have to deinstall the neon from the sculpture, and then you have to somehow ship it across the United States. It is just, it's a crazy balancing act, but it's, so I hope everyone sees it just because they're alive.
Yeah.
They're there. They made it.
What, when you first saw his work, what struck you? I mean, what did you feel when you saw it?
So I met David at the Vermont Studio Center. I was a artist resident there because I'm a practicing artist. So I was in Vermont, and Vermont is really interesting. It has sculpture, writing, and then visual art. And he was in a completely different building than me. But when he was speaking about his work and how he, it's all about curiosity. Mm-hmm. And I think what hit me is that he had to stay continually curious and be learning all of these different practices. He didn't just stay in one thing, right? He wasn't like, I'm just doing clay and that's where I will stay. He's always learning, always picking up different pieces of material and knowledge to be able to construct these larger pieces. And I think that is what struck me and what made me gravitate towards him, is just the knowledge that he could bring my students and bring our community of, don't be scared. If you're like, oh, I'm really curious about neon, there's workshops that will do that for you. He traveled to New York for 4 months. He did it once a week, and he would go to New York because that was the closest place that he could find someone to teach him neon. And he would just go there every single week, drive there a couple of hours every single week to go learn this new craft.
And I think that's one of the most fascinating parts about that story you just told, is self-growth. So it's not just the evolution of the art. It's the evolution of the man behind the art. He changed along with the art itself. And so I think this artist talk is going to be absolutely fascinating, because that would be my question. How did you sculpt yourself, even if it was unintentional, as you began to learn these different processes and apply them? More things you know, the more ideas pop up. So maybe that didn't even go in the direction that you originally planned it, because you didn't know you could do that. Okay, well, that hurdle's out of the way, so we're going to do this. I think it's going to be fascinating. Artist Talk and Reception, Thursday, 4 p.m. Yes. What can people expect from the event?
So there will be an artist talk where he's talking about the progression of the work that he was making. We ask the artist to talk about from the very beginning of their practice. So when they were students and they were learning, we ask them to share with our students what it was that made their art practice successful. So with David, he went to just a bunch of different workshops. He was constantly going to more school, even if he had had a degree. He never just left his education in a box. He just always went. So anyways, you're going to see the process of how he made the work that he's making now. You're going to see his student work, his, you know, middle of his career work, and then what he's making now, and how that journey was kind of held together. And then we get to go see the work. Yeah. So we get to see the neon, we get to see the sculptures, we get to walk around the works and with the artist, so we can ask him direct questions, which is always the fun part.
The evolution of an artist.
Yes.
I mean, that's, you really get to see that. You get to hear it. You get to see the work as these serious steps within his life took place. Whether those serious steps be something emotional or just learning something new. Now, Brittany, before I let you go, where can I go to learn more and to keep up with what you're doing over there?
So firstly, you can always just pop in anytime you want. Come to the college. We've always have something going on, but you can go to the Sheridan College website and the Whitney Center for the Arts. We have ways that you can buy tickets, although the gallery exhibition and the artist talk are free to our public and to our students. So you can find us on Whitney Center for the Arts, the Sheridan College website, but really we want to see your faces. So just come visit, come pop in anytime.
Pop on by.
Yeah.
Poke your head in your office and say hi.
Absolutely. It's always open.
Brittany, thank you so much for coming in this morning. It is always a pleasure to see you.
Thanks for having me.
All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Child Development Center.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
It's time to cowboy up and register for the annual Wolf Creek Wrangle Trail Run. Race day is September 20th, and you can run, hike, or participate virtually in 5-mile, 7-mile, half marathon, or a 30K. This event is hosted by the historic Eaton's Ranch, and all proceeds benefit Habitat for Humanity. Spots are limited. To register, go to runwolfcreekwrangle.com. This year's Wolf Creek Wrangle is brought to you by Fremont Toyota and sponsored in part by Sheridan Media and Sheridan County Travel and Tourism.
People say, let's just get rid of livestock and grow crops instead. That's not possible.
We're really missing the bigger picture.
In a world without cows, we may be giving up one of our best tools to help heal the planet.
If we want to truly mitigate climate change, we need animals on the landscape.
How do we pull that carbon out of the atmosphere and put it back into the soil? That's where livestock come in.
Agriculture holds the key to saving our planet.
What really happens if you take all the cows away?
Are we better off in a world without cows?
A World Without Cows. Friday night's feature film at the 8th Annual Wild Film Fest in Sheridan, October 2nd through October 5th. See the full lineup and get your tickets now at wildfilmfest.org.
There's a lot of exciting offers on the fall online marketplace at SheridanMedia.com. Check it out. Extend your outdoor season with a portable propane fire pit from Dalton's RV. $100 gift cards to Frackleton's. $500 gift card to Pride and Groom. How about rounds of golf at the Hidden Bridge Golf Course? Wow! With your bid starting at 50% of retail value, your dollar's going to go a lot further. Shop for you. Shop for gift. Shop now. The fall online marketplace at SheridanMedia.com.